Psalm 73, it is the psalm we're going to be looking at today. And if you do have a device with your Bible or your actual Bible, please do open it up because we are going to be dipping in and out of it through this morning. This Christmas season, we have been diving into our Missing Piece series. We all know the feeling, don't we? That sinking feeling in the pit of our stomachs when we draw to the end of completing a puzzle piece and we start to do the math. I don't think I have all of the puzzle pieces here. We know the denial. No, I must have just counted wrong. Let me count again. It's got to be here. I've got enough. It's going to be okay. Then we know the panic, that frantic search. It must have just dropped on the floor. I'm going to get it down under the table. It's got to be here. When was the last time I vacuumed? Maybe it's inside the vacuum. I haven't emptied the vacuum. It's got to be. It's okay. I'll empty it up. It's got to be there. That panic, that frantic search. And then that moment, it's nowhere to be found. Maybe you go into anger and frustration. Maybe you just go into despair. I give up. Whatever. The Missing Piece series, it reminds us of that feeling. But it relates it to more than just a mere hobby, such as a jigsaw puzzle. It reminds us of a different kind of peace. Our inner peace, deep in our soul as we go through life. And as Christians, we expect it to be there, don't we? But then we hit points in our life where it falls short. Perhaps we have lived experience of anxiety. Perhaps we have lived experience of anger. Perhaps we have lived experience of despair. Depression, peace that can't be found. We feel this tension between the promises made by God, who we believe to be good, the tension between that and our lived experiences, our grief, our loss, our health journeys, our health struggles, loneliness, troubles in our relationship, conflict, the worries we hold about the people we care about. We have these feelings all year round, but why is it that as we head into this Christmas season, doesn't it just feel so much louder? Peace missing. And yet the Bible is very clear. God promises us goodness and peace. Beth read for us Psalm 73. The very first verse, it testifies to God's goodness to his people. It said, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." It is not just the Psalms that makes promises of God's goodness. Think back to Israel, back to Deuteronomy. Chapter 5, verse 33 says, "Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land that you are about to enter and occupy." We find these kind of covenantal promises throughout the Old Testament, don't we? Live God's way of life, and then you will prosper. But we know that was before Jesus. So what about Jesus? What does Jesus have to say? Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." See, even Jesus made these promises. He promised that the pure in heart will experience God. So if that's true, where is he? Have you ever experienced that tension? That disconnect and that tension is clearly evident in today's psalm. The psalmist, yes, testifies of God's goodness, and yet he also looks at his own life, his own suffering. And what does he do? He despairs. And then he looks at the lives of others who are not living God's way, And all seems to be going well for them. In verse 4 to 5, we read, they seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with the problems like everyone else. Move down to verse 13. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? He's saying, what is the point in all of this faith stuff if I'm just going to go and suffer anyway? Perhaps you are suffering right now. And this Christmas isn't all joy, festivities, and celebrations. Maybe I know some of your pain because we've been walking together as a community, but maybe I don't. Maybe your suffering has been quiet, silent, the hidden kind, and maybe you've been shouldering it alone. What I do know is I know that Jesus knows pain. Ben began our Missing Peace series 2 weeks ago, and he spoke about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And if you missed it, I encourage you to jump online. We have our sermons on our website. We have it on, we even have it on Spotify. We've got it on YouTube. So I encourage you, when you miss a sermon, go back and listen in. But he spoke 2 weeks ago about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. Doesn't that sound lovely? It sounds like a nice name. But we also know that Jesus is known for more than one thing. He's also known in Isaiah 53, verse 3, as the man of sorrows. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Man of sorrows doesn't quite have that nice, same lovely ring to it as Prince of Peace, does it? The point here is that Jesus knows what it is to live in that tension. The tension between the goodness of God and the realities of living in a fallen world. I have to be honest with you, this week preparing this sermon, it actually felt like a pretty tough gig because I wasn't feeling a whole lot of peace in myself this week. Watching what was unfolding on the news, it was flooded through my social media. We know what took place in Bondi. And it hits close to home because it's our own country, it's our own backyard. But we also know what floods the news all the time and what takes place all around the world constantly. There is a very real tension for all of us between God's promises of peace and the reality of living in a fallen world. The tension and the disconnect, when we don't know how to process that, when we don't feel like we have anywhere to go with it, it can lead us into unhelpful places. It can lead us to doubt God and doubt our faith. It can harden our hearts. You know, that little hard but fragile shell we put around ourselves in self-protect. It can lead us away from God. We saw this very thing play out in today's psalm. Psalm 73 outlines the path from this tension into envy, into bitterness. The psalmist wrote, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." When we are hurting, it is so easy to slip into envy. The psalmist sure did. He was comparing his life with the life of others. And he said, their life isn't going so bad. Why do they get let off the hook? That's just not fair. Envy. I wonder if you've ever found yourself slipping into envy. I have been so guilty of this in my own life. When I first became a parent, many of you know the story or parts of our story, but when we first became parents, our family had a pretty rough go of things. Without realizing it during that time, I'd hardened my heart and I became envious of other parents who had healthy babies. Babies who slept. What? Babies who didn't need rushing into the emergency room. Babies who didn't need a myriad of medical appointments. And whenever another young mum told me that their child was an easy child, I hated them for it. Why them? Why me? Why us? It's not fair. Envy. That's what pain can do to the human spirit. And the problem is when we envy, it's not just the envy itself that becomes a problem. It's more to the point. By placing our eyes on envy, we take our eyes off of God. We stop focusing on God and we start focusing on the lives of others instead. And we begin to spiral. Envy creates bitterness. Bitterness leads to a hardened heart. A hardened heart leads to a life of sin. And a life of sin leads to doubt and a crisis of faith. The book of James and the book of Hebrews both warn us of this spiral. James 3:16 says, "For whenever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." We need to watch out for it. And when it's already taken root, we need to do the work within ourselves to untangle it because it's dangerous for our faith. Psalm 73 in verse 2, it warns us of losing our footing. We already read it. "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping. I was almost gone." And then later in the psalm, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you." That spiral is a slippery slope. I remember as a late teenager, early young adult, I was sitting on my bedroom floor going through a whole bunch of things in my life at that time, a whole bunch of challenges, a whole lot of pain. And I yelled out to God, "God, take this pain away. I signed up for this Jesus thing because you were meant to be my savior. You were meant to save me from all of this. You were meant to make it better." I walked away from my faith that night. And yes, spoiler alert, you know that I came back. Here I am. You know how that story ended. But there was a considerable chapter in my life there where I did not have the tools I needed to reconcile the promises that I had read in Scripture and all of those very nice words that the very nice people at my very nice church said to me. I did not have the tools to reconcile that with the reality of the things that I was living through that were not very nice. That is what this spiral looks like. Pain to envy, to bitterness, to a hardened heart, to doubt, to a crisis of faith. And not one of us is immune to it. You know the thing that travels down that slippery spiral very quickly with us? Shame. Do you think I am proud to admit that I hated other mothers for having healthy babies? I mean, these thoughts, these feelings, these are not the things that we walk around wearing with badges of honor. The paths our mind can go down, they aren't ones that we easily confess to other people, and they aren't things that we easily confess to God. They fester in private, and they grow stronger in darkness. Shame is a difficult one to overcome. It is a powerful weapon that Satan uses. But it does rely on us keeping it hidden to ourselves in the dark, because it doesn't hold up when we confront it with God's light. There is a point in our psalm today, if you have it in front of you, look at verse 23. There is a point where the psalmist finally comes into God's presence and the fog clears, the confusion lifts. There is that turning point, verse 23, where they state that they still belong to God and that God holds them in their right hand. Verse 25 then says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth." And then verse 26, "My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." And then verse 28, scroll down with me, or flip if you're in a physical. "But as for me, how good is it to be near God? I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." What was it, Deb? "Go and tell it on the mountains." Is that what we sang? Can you hear the reassurance here in this psalm? Even though the psalmist's flesh and heart may fail, God will not. Can you hear the transformation, the transformative work that happens in God's presence? The transformation from looking on and envying what others have and looking back up to God and saying, "No, I don't desire that. I desire you more than anything on this earth." My heart's cry as a mother, what that looks like, it transforms from wanting a healthy baby or a pain-free, straightforward life for my kids as they grow. It transforms from that into simply wanting them to have a life with God, regardless of what that looks like and how much pain that might bring along the way. To pray that kind of prayer over your kids, I mean, that's a tough one, isn't it? And it makes no sense from an earthly perspective. But that's an example of what this transformation looks like. We no longer look at things from an earthly perspective. We're looking at them from God's eternal perspective. Our circumstances may not change, but when we actively seek God and we actively turn toward Him and hold up all of our yucky bits, our shame, they don't stand a chance in the face of His glory. And it is there we are transformed. And it is there where we experience peace. There was a time in Ben and my marriage where we had been struggling. We had had a whole bunch of conflicts going on between us. And I had allowed resentment towards Ben to build a wall between us. We sought out marriage counselling. And the counsellor said to me, "Shelby, in the quiet and the darkness of night, you have allowed Satan to whisper a whole bunch of things about your husband to you, and you have agreed with them. You have turned them into agreements. Whisper, whisper, bend this, bend that. Yes, I agree. Whisper, whisper, bend this, bend that. Yes, I agree." The advice I was given was bring each one of those agreements as they arise up into the presence of God. Allow His light to shine upon them and just see what's left. God's presence, it's not that it transformed our marriage. The point was that it transformed me and how I showed up in our marriage. Jesus Himself said, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's from John 16:33. Moments ago, we just watched a clip where Bingo goes on her own search for her missing piece. She searched far and wide, high and low, and in the end, where was her missing piece? Right there with her the whole time, all along. Jesus has never abandoned us in our pain. He joined us in it. That is the point of Christmas, isn't it? He came to earth as a little vulnerable baby to live a human life in a fallen world and to experience the turmoil with us. He did it to be both things. The man of sorrows, the man who would carry the weight and pain and suffering and sin of an entire world, but also the Prince of Peace, the one who can transform us in the midst of our circumstances and allow us to experience peace that transcends all human understanding. The only question remains, will we bring our troubles and our doubts and our shame to God and receive his peace in exchange this Christmas? You'll see that up on the stage, I've got a little basket here, and inside the basket is a whole bunch of little puzzle pieces. We're going to have a time of quiet, reflection on our own. We're going to have some music playing. Ben has recorded for us, Peace Be Still. And as he plays over us through the audio, we get to just sit with ourselves and with God. In this moment, I invite you to each name a place within ourselves where we are missing peace. It might be a circumstance, it might be a relationship, it might be a disappointment, a heartbreak, a source of shame. Whatever it is for you this morning, I invite you to bring that into God's presence. He is here. He is listening. He is good. And he cares. Bring it to him and allow him to shine his light upon you. And then in your own time when you're ready, I invite you to come forward and take a puzzle piece with you as a symbol of exchanging it, whatever it is for you, with God's peace. That take that puzzle piece with you this Christmas week. And whenever you see it, transformation doesn't happen in a moment, not normally. It's not normally just on a Sunday morning with one prayer. It's a journey, it's a process. So take that puzzle piece with you. And every time you see it, allow it to remind you to turn your eyes back to God and pray and ask him to help you be transformed and to know the power of his presence in all circumstances. Pray with me. God, we know you are here. We know you are good. We know you see us, all of us, the bits that we are proud of, the bits that we are not. And we know you love us unconditionally. Thank you for your grace. God, life can be tough. Christmas can be tough. But you know that. You see it all. You came to earth as a man and you experienced it firsthand. Help us, God. Help us hold this tension between your promise for peace and the everyday reality of living in a fallen world. Keep drawing us back. Keep drawing us and our eyes back to you. We bring all of our pain points to you. Carry them for us, God. And at this week, as we head into Christmas, help us keep our eyes locked onto you. Show us how to live in your daily presence. And through your presence, transform us, God. Allow us to know the reality of your peace. Amen.